Reading will come from Matthew chapter 5 and verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Thank you, Robert, for that reading. It certainly is good for us to be here this morning to have this opportunity to worship God together. We do have visitors among us, and we're thankful for your presence, and we hope that you'll come back and worship God again with us. We meet back tonight at 5:00. We encourage you to come back if you're able to. Salt and light. Salt and light. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. The passage that Robert just read for us, Jesus speaking to his disciples here, is talking about the power that his disciples have with their influence that they have in the world. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Jesus realized that people needed influence in their lives. He realized they needed preservation and illumination. That's what he's talking about here. Preservation and illumination. If people are going to be preserved for a proper use by God, if they're going to be illuminated to the truth, it's going to be from us. It's going to be from those who are already disciples of Christ. As we walk properly before them, as we share the gospel with them, they will be preserved. They will be illuminated. They will be influenced by us. Salt. We add salt to our food that needs seasoning. And as we put the salt on our food, the salt draws out the flavor of the food that it comes in contact with. And when you put your salt on the food, you notice there's a change in the food. Salt changes or influences the food, not the other way around. The food doesn't influence the salt. The salt stays the same. It's the salt that influences the food. We don't put salt on a steak and say, wow, this salt sure tastes steaky. No, we put salt on the steak, and when we taste what? We taste the salt that's on the steak. The steak tastes salty. So the salt has the more powerful influence than the steak. And that's the point that Jesus is making here. We've got to have the more powerful influence on the people that we come in contact with, not the other way around. We cannot let the world influence us to the point that we lose our effectiveness as a disciple of Christ. And that's what Jesus says here in verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. He says in verse 13 that if the salt has become tasteless, if our influence is ineffective, what good is it? He said it's no good at all. It's no use to him. He says he'll throw it out and it'll be trampled under the foot of men. And so we've got to keep our influence in the positive side of things. Our influence needs to be stronger than the influence of the world if we're going to have that positive seasoning effect on the people that we come in contact with. The influence that Jesus is talking about here, it's a powerful influence. When we turn a light on in a room, what happens? The light chases away the darkness, doesn't it? The light is stronger than the darkness. It eliminates the darkness. It illumines the darkness. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Salt influences, light chases away the darkness. God wants us to influence the lives of others for good, and to help chase away the darkness in their lives with the power of the gospel. How does that happen? Verse 16, they see your good works and they glorify your Father who is in heaven. God gets the glory for all of it. He gets the glory for all of it. Not like the Pharisee that we read about in Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, we have the story of the Pharisee beginning with verse 9. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up in the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, the Pharisee in this parable, where was the light? He was holding that light right up here, wasn't he? Shining it on himself. He had a spotlight. Jesus doesn't want us to be spotlights. He wants us to be beacons. He wants the light to shine from us, to shine on others. When it comes to the subject of influence, when it comes to the subject of soul winning, personal work, whatever you want to call it, most people are intimidated by that subject. They say, I'm just not a door knocker. I'm just not outgoing. Did Jesus say there in Matthew chapter 13 that only the preachers, only the elders, only those who are outgoing, only those who are door knockers, that they're the only ones who have the responsibility of being salt and light? That responsibility falls on every Christian, to be salt and to be light. Every Christian has that responsibility. Every Christian is to be a grain of salt. Every Christian is to be a particle of light that can be seen by others so that God can receive His just glory. He has work for us to do. No matter what our situation in life, we talked this morning in our Bible class about the body of Christ and how some, the different parts of the body, the church is compared to a physical body. You have ears, you have eyes, you have a nose, you have hands, you have feet, you have all these different parts of the body. But the conclusion that the Apostle Paul comes to is they're all necessary. Some may seem to be less important, but they only seem that way. They're all necessary in order for the body to function. And it's that way when it comes to our influence. It's that way when it comes to our being able to illuminate others to the gospel of Christ. Every Christian can glorify God the way Jesus wants us to. Every Christian has that ability. And for a role model this morning, I want to look to the greatest example that we have, Jesus Christ. The greatest example we have of anyone being salt and light is to look at the life of Jesus. Look at how He behaved among people. Look at His actions and then use that as an example for our own selves. First of all, we need to remember that Jesus was human. He was human. Now, I realize He was also divine. The Scriptures point that out. But He came to this world in human form. In John chapter 1, it's very plain. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It became flesh. The Word, that is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. Why? Why would Jesus do that? Why would Jesus give up the glory of heaven to come to the earth? He had a mission. But He also had not only the mission of saving us, not only the mission of going to the cross and becoming that perfect sacrifice, that perfect Lamb of God, but another part of His mission was to lead us by example. To lead us by example. And He could only do that if He was here in the flesh, existing as a human. We've been studying the book of Philippians in our Wednesday night class. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, concerning Christ and His coming to this earth, it says, but He emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So, yes, Jesus was human. He took on human form while He was here upon the earth. And that's important for us to understand, that Jesus, while He was here on this earth, took on human form. Because as a human, He showed us how to be salt. He showed us how to be light in the world. When the apostles saw Jesus, let's see what they saw. What did the apostles see when they saw Jesus? For instance, in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did they see when they saw Jesus as He was praying? What did they see when they saw Jesus when He was in grief, when He was in sorrow? Look at Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to His disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. What did the apostles see when they saw Jesus in Gethsemane? They saw a man who was in pain. They saw a man who was in anguish. They saw a man who was grieved. You see, Jesus was not afraid to hide His vulnerable side. Jesus had a vulnerable side. And He wasn't afraid to hide that to His disciples. They saw a man who was in pain. They saw a man who was in anguish. We need to remember that. Too many times, we want to hide that side of ourselves, don't we? We want to hide all of our vulnerabilities, all of those characteristics which the world thinks are weak. We want to hide those things from other people. If we try to hide the fact that we're human, if we try to hide our vulnerable side, what kind of connection are we going to make with other people? If they think we have no weaknesses, if they think we're not tempted like they are, if they think we have no anguish, if they think we have no pain, if they think we have no grief, how likely are we to be able to influence them in any way, but a bad way? Jesus was not afraid to show His vulnerable side. If we pretend like we have no problems, we're not going to be able to relate to others. What about the woman at the well? What about the woman at the well? Let's talk about her for just a moment. In the book of John, chapter 4, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, beginning with verse 5. And so He came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and so Jesus, being wearied from His journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said, give me a drink. Give me a drink. What did the woman at the well see when she saw Jesus that day? She saw a tired traveler. A tired traveler. What about the people that were at the funeral of Lazarus? What did they see when they saw Jesus? Go over to a few pages to John chapter 11. And John chapter 11 will begin with verse 30. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. And then the Jews who were there with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. And so the Jews were saying, See how he loved him. These people that were at the funeral for Lazarus, what did they see? They saw a man who was crying. They saw a man who was touched by the grief of other people. They saw a man who had compassion and who wasn't afraid to show it. Jesus felt their pain. He felt their sorrow. And he had compassion upon them. As we share the gospel with others, we need to remember that. We need to share who we are. They need to know that we are people. They need to know that we're human. They need to know that we have weaknesses. We have temptations. We have trials. We have troubles. We have grief. We have anguish. We have all the things that they have. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verses 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul is consoling the Thessalonians, and he says, But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children, having so fond an affection for you that we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. Notice the compassion that Paul has as he writes these words. He talks about how dear the Thessalonians were to him and how he was willing to impart the gospel to them, but not only the gospel, he said, we were willing to give you our own lives. Those are the things that we need to remember about Jesus. Not only that, but Jesus was also approachable. He was approachable. Think about that. When he was in his glorified state, and I'm talking about the Mount of Transfiguration, when he was in his glorified state at that moment, was he approachable? What did the apostles do when they saw Jesus in his glorified state? And they heard the voice of God coming from the clouds. How did they react? They fell to the ground. In his glorified state, he could not be approached in the same way that he could in his human form. If you go to Matthew, let's read the account. Matthew chapter 17, the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew 17, we'll read beginning with verse 2. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. But as a man, people flocked to him. He was approachable in this human form that he was in. light attracts. Jesus is spoken of as the light. The religious people of Jesus' day, the Pharisees in particular, they depicted themselves to other people as being so high and mighty. They were viewed as being unapproachable. They wanted people to think of them as being superior in their religious aspect. Jesus did not appear that way to the people that he came in contact with. Jesus actually showed concern with everyone that he met because he realized every person that he met had a soul. Every person that he met had a soul. They needed to be saved. Every person that he met was going to spend an eternity somewhere. And he wanted it to be in heaven with him. Jesus recognized that. We all have souls. We need to remember that as we're out there in the world. The people that we come in contact with, they're not just flesh and blood. They have a soul as well. And that soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. And we should be concerned about that. God is no respecter of persons. Jesus showed that so perfectly in his life, in his example. Jesus accepted an invitation to the house of a tax collector, someone that everyone else hated. Jesus accepted an invitation to his house. He went to the home of Mary and Martha. Mary was the woman who had a reputation of being an immoral person. She's described by some as being a sinner. She had that reputation. Jesus went to their home. He went to the home of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was not only a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. He was in charge of all the other tax collectors. Jesus said, "Come down from that tree. I'm going to your house today." Jesus came into this world to save people who were lost in sin. He always took the time to show compassion to them. That takes time to show compassion. It takes sacrifice on our part to show that kind of compassion, to show that kind of love, so that people know and understand that we really do care about them. We really do care about their soul. In Matthew chapter 11, in verses 18 and 19, it says, "John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say to him, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" That's the way his enemies viewed him. He's a friend of tax collectors, a friend of sinners. He was a friend to the lost. That's what he was. And that's what we need to be. We need to be a friend to those who are lost. They need to view us that way. What about the lepers that Jesus came in contact with? You know, we talked a lot in the last few years about social distancing. If there was ever anyone you wanted to be a social distance away from, it was the leper. Matter of fact, the leper has the responsibility in the Old Testament. The leper had to announce himself as he was approaching the city. "Unclean, unclean." In other words, "Stay away from me," because this terrible disease he had was so contagious. Jesus was approachable even to the lepers. And how long do you think it took after having that social interaction with Jesus, how long do you think it took for the lepers to tell everybody in the leper colony about Jesus? The words probably spread faster than leprosy did. The words about Jesus, about who he was, about how approachable he was. He was a friend even to the lepers. Jesus was a friend of sinners. What about us? Can that be said about us? Are we a friend to the people in the world? And when I say that, I don't mean that we're friends with their sin. No, Jesus never participated in the sins of the world. And so we can do that. Jesus did it. We can do it. We can be approachable to people in the world without participating in the sins of the world. Jesus knew he could come in contact with the sinners without being contaminated by the sin. It's possible. And we have to remember that as Christians. Also, we've made this point, but I want to stress it. Jesus was compassionate. The word compassion, it means to suffer with. To suffer with. Jesus had the ability to do that. And we all have that ability to suffer with someone. Someone once said, you can pity someone from a distance, but to show compassion, you have to be close to them. In Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 11, soon afterwards he went to a city called Nain, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large crowd. Now as he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a sizable crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her. And he said to her, do not weep. And he came up and touched the coffin. And the bearers came to a halt. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. The dead man sat up, began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Fear gripped them all. They began to glorify God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us. God has visited his people. This report concerning him went out over all Judea and in all the surrounding district. Did this woman who was at her son's funeral, this widow woman, did she ask Jesus for anything? Nothing. But Jesus stops her. And he says those two words, don't cry. Don't cry. He said the same thing that you and I would say if we were at a funeral and we saw someone grieving over the loss of their son, their daughter, their parent, their sibling, a close family member. We would comfort them. We would show compassion towards them. You see how we can all be that influence in the lives of others? All of us have the capability of doing that one thing right there. Going to a funeral, showing compassion to someone who has lost a loved one. There's your opportunity to be the grain of salt. There's your opportunity to be the particle of light that they may not get from anyone else. There's your opportunity. There's your opportunity to be human, to be approachable, to be compassionate. Take those opportunities. Remember when Jesus was on his way to heal the daughter of Jairus, someone in the crowd, a woman, touched him, and she was healed. And immediately Jesus said, who touched me? He didn't want to rebuke her for what she had done. He wanted to rejoice with her for what she had done. And there's another opportunity that we have. The scriptures say, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Those are two opportunities that we have to be that grain of salt, to be that particle of light in the lives of other people. We weep with those who are in sorrow. We rejoice with those who have a reason to rejoice. We need to see people the way that Jesus saw them. We need to understand that everyone that we come in contact with has a soul. And that soul is going to spend an eternity somewhere, in heaven or in hell. Regardless of their social standing, regardless of their financial standing, they have a soul. Look at the woman at the well. What if we had met that woman instead of Jesus? What would our reaction have been, knowing her reputation? Would we say to ourselves, she's too far gone? Look how many husbands she's had. She's too far gone. I'm not going to waste my time talking with someone like that. Do you ever find yourself, and I'm preaching to myself right now, do you ever find yourself being a fruit judger? I do. What are we? We're harvesters. We bring the harvest in. And if you think the harvest is not ripe, you're wrong. The harvest is ripe. Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 35, don't say it's 4 months from now and then the harvest. The harvest is white right now. Gather it in. Gather it in. Jesus knew the woman at the well needed to be taught. That's what we need to be asking ourselves. Does this person standing in front of me need to be taught the Scriptures? The answer is probably going to be yes. So take the opportunity to be the light. Take the opportunity to be the salt. Take the opportunity to influence that person. Salt won't do any good unless it gets on the food. Don't keep it to yourself. Put the salt on the food. Shine the light where it needs to go. Be the beacon. We sing the song sometimes. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the way. Some poor, fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Be the salt. Be the light. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we encourage you to look at the example of Jesus, look at the words that He taught. Remember that we have responsibilities in this life. If we ever want to see that home in heaven, we've got to obey. We've got to repent of our sins, confess His name before men, be baptized so that our sins can be washed away, and then begin walking that new life in Christ, being the salt, being the light, pointing others to the way. If you're here this morning and subject to that invitation, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.